KCIUT 89.5 FM, celebrating 35 years as the sound of your city. Proudly student and listener-supported community radio.
Morgan, telling us the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. Phil Conlon is with me. I'm Phil Taylor. Phil Conlon is with me. I'll do that line over. Go ahead. How
good,
are you doing?
Good afternoon, Phil.
All right. Today we're going to be talking, it won't surprise our listeners, we're going to be talking about the Doug Ford being able to dodge the cannonball. It's on the cannonball, I think it says Laurel Walton or Mom Walton. We want to do a little bit of nitty gritty talking about, well, what happens now. They always hate, you know, it's always nice to have a little dance, play the music, but then you have to get back to, the proof is in the pudding. So we're going to be talking about the, and for you dialectical materialists, I understand it means the proof is in the eating of the pudding. I know you've improved on a proverb, and we appreciate it a lot. I didn't want you to think I was a fool. So we're going to get into the eating of the pudding, we hope. And that would be with Tony Leah of Unifor. And I'm sure, not to the surprise, but to the delight of our listeners, we'll be talking to Zafar Bengash about a really big story, the attempted assassination of the former prime minister of Pakistan. But beyond that, the truly aggressive and developing strategy of the United States and its allies to go back to the business of regime change, specifically on the matter of the Islamic Republic. There is trouble on the border with Azerbaijan, and that is not that is spooky territory. And also with Iraq, and we've spoken of it on the show before, the matter of the Kurdish population in that region, which always becomes inflamed when U.S. and its allies are on the move and wanting to make trouble in the region. They never actually recognize a Kurdistan, but they play with it sufficient to always have it on the burner, as it were. So all these things we will talk about with Zafar Bengash, and that'll be in the latter half of the show. This is the Taylor Report. By the way, next week people are going to be donating to CIUT. Am I right, Phil?
That's right. Fundraising week. We're going to raise $100,000, and we've got to get it done.
Phil will be doing that on Classical Underground Wednesday, yes. 6 to 8 p.m. So they've got Phil slotted for the 100 grand. I mean, they figure Phil deals in classical music, and the rumor is that people into classical music often have more in their pockets than the people in rock
and
roll.
Yeah, the problem is that they keep it in their pockets.
How did they get it?
They're well known as being cheapskates.
So they're educators.
Yes.
I see. On the matter, there's a subject that we want to put it on the Taylor Report a lot, and we want to make it front and center, in my opinion. That is that there's a salvo coming from NATO, from the Five Eyes, from Western Europe, and they're saying that we've got to divide the world between people with our values and those without them. The Deputy Prime Minister, Deputy Freeland, has said, and by the way, Phil, you would hear echoes of this from the Reagan administration. You might remember the United Nations representative of the United States. Can you recall the woman who's always looking at her fingernails and who said that it's democracy versus autocracy or...
Jean Kirkpatrick, right?
There you are.
Yeah.
A little duck comes down, gives Phil $20. You're right. That's exactly right. There was it. And it's the same line. Yeah. It's our values. We are, you know, advanced, blah, blah, Republicans, Democrats. And I was astonished that this would be uttered and that even the reporters don't laugh out loud because she's talking about, and she's only echoing Biden, which is her job. She's saying that it's the choice between democracy and autocracy. And therefore, we have to unite against Putin. But now listen, we're in North America. Mexico is in North America. Mexico has a president named Obrador. There are 80 million, I think, population of Mexico, maybe higher. And he has said that we should be exercising diplomacy. And he is not joining into this demonization game because it's not in the interest of his people, Mexican people, or nor the world. He says that's the wrong way. He doesn't believe in that. He said we are, use the word, multilateral country, world. NATO doesn't think that. NATO says there's NATO world, which is akin to Disney World, and it's all made up. But it's becoming more serious because I would say that the deputy minister and Biden, for whom she speaks, are showing signs of derangement. We just had an election in Brazil, which has a population, I believe, 120 million. That's a democratic country. Deputy Prime Minister, that's a democratic country. They just had an election. They just chose Mr. Lula. Mr. Lula says, in his opinion, he's a leader of Brazil. In his opinion, NATO is responsible for the current fighting. Now, I can understand a few Canadians tearing their hair and people shouting. Please feel free to do so. But we're talking. She says it's democracy. Now he is leading a democracy. Unless she wants to come out and say he's not, I'd be very interested in that. Incidentally, let's recognize, even Mr. Bolsonaro did not join in the sanctions game and said he wouldn't. Bolsonaro and Lula of the democratic country of Brazil say this is something that has to be worked out by diplomats. That isn't what we're hearing from Ottawa. Ottawa says it's democracy versus autocracy. Well, there's two democracies, just for starters, that I would like to ask the Deputy Prime Minister, could you talk to them? Because they don't seem to agree with you. And maybe more important than talking, could you listen to what they're saying? The democratic country of Brazil, democratic country, of Mexico. By the way, in the case of Mexico, an overwhelmingly popular president, people are calling the election of Lula, you know, close, but really it doesn't matter because on the issue of dealing with using diplomacy is agreed. One of the reasons he probably would have won overwhelmingly by a large margin if Bolsonaro had taken the road of saying, I agree with Biden. If Bolsonaro had said that, he'd have been wiped out. As it was, he showed a certain amount of Brazilian sovereignty and understanding that he wants to represent Brazil and not the U.S. And then, of course, there's the South Africa. I don't know whether the Deputy Prime Minister regards South Africa as a democracy. Most of the world does. They think it's an exemplary development, South Africa. They call for diplomacy and are not supporting the NATO position. So somebody doesn't even understand what democracy is. I mean, and which raises, I guess, you know, kind of make this a joke, but there's a thing called the Lima Group, and the Lima no longer belongs to the Lima Group, and all the people brought together by Deputy Prime Minister Freeland and her successors to oppose Venezuela and name an unelected individual named Guaido name him as the president, which they did, and he even visited, and NDP sat in his lap and rubbed his cheek, as did everybody else, because they're all a bunch of, what's the expression, kiss ass. Can we say that? I just did.
Yeah, we can anyway, say that.
Okay,
yeah.
We can't. I promise not to say it again. So they all did that to please Washington, to please Biden, to please Obama, to whomever it was. So let's take democracy off the table as a damnable lie. It's just a damnable lie that the deputy prime minister cares about democracy. And between nations, there's supposed to be democratic relations. This is a country that doesn't listen to Mexico, doesn't listen to South Africa, doesn't listen to Brazil. They listen to Washington. So we need to put an end to the, you know, joking around. And unfortunately, you know, we haven't elected Eve Engler as an MP or somebody akin to that, to who...
Well, that's not permitted. You remember Dmitry tried to run for the leadership of the Green Party, and they made sure that... Well, that might have put him in the parliament, and there might have been a debate on this stuff. So you're not allowed to have a debate, so...
No, absolutely.
They fixed him, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so we've established that it's a lie to say democracy is the issue. The democratic value is... No, that's all a lie. Anybody trying to enforce Guaido on the Venezuelan people is definitely a liar and a bully and a bunch of other things, imperialist. Now, second matter I think we should note on this program. The war in Ukraine is, as we warned people when it began, is sort of a fog. It's very hard to make out the actual intentions of the parties, actually. The war reporting is basically non-existent because we have what are called embedded journalists, which means that, you know, they sleep with one side or the other. But the one thing that we do know and should be pointed out, and I haven't seen it repeated enough, the issue of Crimea is an American, British, French issue. America, the United States, wants Crimea more than Ukraine does. Ukraine, by the way, is not a unified country, hasn't been now for 15, 20 years because they regionally divided. And then there is the subject of Crimea. The U.S. needs Crimea. That was the jewel when they led the Maidan coup and overthrew the elected president of Ukraine. When they did that, they wanted Crimea because it's a very simple reason. It's a Russian naval base, and historically has been since many long years ago. And we should just remind everybody of the history that in 1853, roughly, there was the Crimean War. You've all heard about the famous...
Charge of the Light Brigade.
The Light Brigade, yeah. Whose lights went out. And it was a horrible defeat, therefore Tennyson wrote a poem to make it sound like it was wonderful. It was so horrible that they needed the greatest poet in the English language at the time to make it digestible. However, remember something. That was France and Britain trying to take Crimea Peninsula, particularly Sebastopol, away from Russia. That was the target. Why? Because they wanted to control the Black Sea, and they did not want the Russians there. And you know who supported the Russians? The United States. The president of the United States expelled the British ambassador for trying to recruit British diaspora, British citizens living in the United States, are trying to recruit them to join to support the attack on Crimea. And the ambassador was expelled. Because at that time, the U.S. wasn't number one imperialist. They were definitely had it in their diary that they wanted to someday be the number one, but they weren't number one. they were not enthusiastic about the. They had their own interests, and they didn't see their interests involved in supporting the British and the French. By the way, when it came only 7 years later, the American Civil War, the British paid them back by opening their doors to the Confederates, letting them operate in British territory, particularly Toronto and Montreal and St. John's, Newfoundland. So people need a historical context, remember. So this time, though, America is leading the pack, and it's the same old issue. They do not want Russia to be even present in the Black Sea. They want to negate them. And so they want Crimea more than anybody in Kiev, because the Kiev regime is a very peculiar politically. It's hard to prove that they have very much base. Main evidence that they don't have a lot of base is that you only hear about one guy, the former president, Mr. Poroshenko. The last time I heard about him before all the violence began is that Mr. Zelensky accused Mr. Poroshenko of being a traitor and ordered his arrest. We reported that on Taylor. CBC doesn't talk about this. They don't think they don't want to disturb their viewers with this kind of material. This is the Taylor Report, and I think we have a piece of music we think is apropos. And then after that, we're going to speak to Tony Leah of Unifor, and a labor analyst and scholar, about the Ford retreat. This is Leadbelly, and he's looking for the town bully.